In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, Saint Joseph, Saint Simon Stock, Saint Margaret of Cortona, Saint John Nepocene, our patron saints and guardian angels. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we celebrate three saints in the Church's liturgy, and I'm just going to touch upon all three of them because I think they all reflect something about this special year of mercy, about God's mercy that we are celebrating in a special way during this year of mercy. The first one, of course, is the Third Order Saint, Third Order Franciscan, Saint Margaret of Cortona, who was really when we think of God's mercy, she's an epitome of what God's mercy is really all about, and that is taking someone who is on their way to hell, as the opening prayer said, on her way to damnation, and shocking her into reality, bringing her back from a road to perdition to make her a great saint. Saint Margaret of Cortona could be a patron saint for modern young people today because she was living a life of dissolution, and she was living cohabitating in her day, living in sin with a young man. And she flaunted the fact that she was his concubine. She touted it and kind of flouted it, flaunted it to those around her in the village because he was a wealthy man, and so she was in a certain good state in that way, financially or materially, until the day that her boyfriend didn't come home one day from hunting, and the dog came back barking and led her out into the forest where she found his body dead. Someone had murdered him. And she began to reflect as she looked upon his corpse there. She said, where was his soul at that moment? Her Catholic education that she must have received as a child finally kicked in, and she thought about the four last things. What kind of judgment did he receive? And it caused her to reflect, what kind of judgment would I receive if I were in that same state at this moment, if I were to be before the judgment seat of God? And she literally transformed her life. She turned away from her life of sin, and then not just turned away from sin and began to live a virtuous life, but she knew that she had to make reparation for her life of sin because she had given bad example, and she had kind of rejoiced in her sinful life. So then she adopted the life of a Third Order Franciscan, living a life of penance. And she did a lot of penances. Matter of fact, she became known for her penances that she did. She was very proud of her long hair, so she cut it kind of short, which was considered kind of a shame to a woman to have short hair. But she did it as a sign of humiliation, and began to really edify the people by her life of virtue and prayer, and became dedicated to doing charity to others, realizing that her life of sin before was all about indulging herself. And so Saint Margaret went on to become a great saint, a penitential saint in the Franciscan order. One time, though, she had taken up many penances that she was doing, and she was complained one day to our Lord that she was not very joyful, or that she didn't seem to be very happy doing the life of penance. And she thought there must be something not quite right about that. And she complained to our Lord that why wasn't she happy about doing these penances that she had taken up willingly and maybe joyfully at first. Now it kind of became kind of a drudgery for her to do these penitential practices. And our Lord appeared to her on the cross, and he said to Margaret, Margaret, I wasn't laughing when I was on the cross. And that kind of shocked her into reality that penance is penance. It's not meant to be pleasurable in that sense. We can be joyful in doing penance, but it has to be, usually the whole thing about a penance is it goes against our pleasing ourselves. It's something that we're denying, something that we like, a good. So it's going to have usually sometimes a sting to it, or it isn't probably very penitential if it doesn't deprive us in some way of something that we like or some kind of pleasure. Of course, St. Francis was very penitential and he was joyful, but people forget that St. Francis also, his biographers say that he died blind because he cried so much. Cried because of thinking about our Lord's sufferings and his passion, and that caused St. Francis to weep very much and eventually led to his blindness, his biographers say. The other two saints we celebrate today is St. Simon Stock, was quite a different saint in the sense that he wasn't a big sinner who had a big conversion. He was very holy from a very young age, as the biography of him says that he was 12 years old. He asked his parents if he could become a hermit, and he wanted to go off and live a very secluded life of prayer and penance. His parents loved him very much and didn't want to see him go off on to a distant land, yet they knew this must be a vocation that was from God, so they made a deal with him. They said he could live as a hermit, but he had to live on the property of their estate as a hermit. So he chose a big hollowed out oak tree as his little cell. He lived in that like in a phone booth, because he couldn't lay down, he couldn't lay flat, but he lived in this hollowed out oak tree as his cell for probably over 20 years, from the age of 12 till probably in his mid-30s. He lived off of herbs and vegetables and kind of like a Yule Gibbons of his day, I think, in one sense, because he lived off of the land. He didn't eat meat. Matter of fact, one day someone brought him a fish that they had caught, and he didn't eat fish. It was part of his life of penance, and the fish came back to life, and he put it back in the water. But he lived a life of intense prayer. He later on joined the Carmelite order when the Carmelites came to England from the Holy Land. He then went to the Holy Land himself and lived there for some time on Mount Carmel. He came back from England as the Superior General, Prior General, and he is noted because he is the saint who pleaded with Our Lady to come to the aid of the Carmelites, and he is the one who received the brown scapular from Our Lady in that vision that he had on July 16th in 1251. And so we have St. Simon Stock as a great example of one who believed in Our Lady's maternal mediation and her solicitude, her patronage for the Carmelites. He knew that this was a great gift, that Our Lady had made the Carmelites her order, and the brothers of Mount Carmel believed her to be their special patroness. And so when they were under attack by officials, both within the church and outside the church, the persecution they were undergoing threatened their existence, he turned to his mother and pleaded that she would show herself to be their mother, that she truly was their protectress. Because that's one of the things of the Middle Ages, that when a queen or a king took people under her sovereign care, they wore her, you might say, her colors, her livery, as they say, you know, like we say when you have that saying, a livery stable, when you have a bunch of racehorses, they wear the color of their owner, so you know who they belong to. Well, the livery of Our Lady was her brown scapular, and he asked Our Lady to show that she was their patroness, and she said, here is the habit of your order. Here's your livery. Yes, you are mine, and this is your colors. This is what will show that you are mine, and I, in my part, will protect you. I take it as a serious contract. And the Carmelites and those who wear the scapular, in one sense, by wearing the scapular, are always asking Our Lady, I have this contract with you. I will try to be your child, the one who will serve you, and you will watch over me and protect me, to protect me from the fires of hell, which is a great grace. You know, that's another thing that we focus on. So many sacramentals in the church are instruments of God's mercy to bring us grace, to dispose us to be open to receive the graces that God wishes to give us. And the greatest mercy, one of the greatest mercies that God can show us, is that He has given us His own mother to be our mother, and that she really takes her maternal role seriously. She is here to protect us. She wants to protect us from the greatest evil, and that is sin. And she wants to protect us from the ultimate consequences of sin, which is hell. And that she has come to give us this grace through the brown scapular devotion of final perseverance, that we will not die in our sins. And Our Lady, of course, has worked many miracles to show that great promise is being kept. St. Simon Stock lived to be 100 years old. He died in 1265 in Bordeaux, France. And later on, when the Carmelites were finally, you know, it was during the persecution of England, they were kicked out of England. When they finally came back in 1959, back to Aylesford, where he received the scapular vision in England, they brought his skull back from Bordeaux to return to Aylesford once again. So he is a very great saint, a very important saint in the Carmelite order, and especially among the Marian saints who received this great sacramental of Our Lady. The final saint that we celebrate today, St. John Nepomuceno, or Nepomucene, is a Czech saint or Bohemian saint. He was a priest. He was the confessor to the king, I believe, of Bohemia or of the Czech people at that time. He was also the confessor to the queen. And the king was a very jealous man, and he wanted to know what St. John was being told by his queen in confession. And he said, I cannot tell you. It's under the seal. I may not tell you or divulge what the queen tells me in confession. And he threatened him. St. John refused to say anything about what the queen was confessing to him, to her, or that what she was confessing to him. And so the king finally was so upset that he had some of his henchmen kill St. John Nepomuceno. He is a great martyr of the confessional, for he would rather die than break the seal. Another great example of how important, you know, that God's mercy, that, you know, He has given us this great sacrament of penance, in which those who have the role of confessor, you know, hold that great, the severe duty that they have, that they are being told what's in confession, not to them personally, Father so-and-so or Father Joe, but rather it's being told to God, and therefore the priest cannot divulge what is God's information. He's not being told that because of the person he is, but of the office that he holds, and that is a sacred duty. And so today we want to thank God for also the sacrament of penance, and that priests have given their lives in order to protect the sacrament of penance. And maybe they haven't died physically, but maybe they have suffered a great persecution because they have not been willing to share or give up what they've been told in the sacrament of penance, that great mercy seat of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.